This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's Bonta Hill, whether it's Joe Spadoni, whether it's Joe Shasky, it's Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. Probably the chillest guest we've ever had on our airwaves that's a regular. And I say that in the greatest way possible. Anthony Slater, just a very chill dude, which I appreciate. That's like a meme now, the chill guy. I don't know if you've seen that. That's Anthony Slater. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop. Anthony Slater, we've been talking all morning, and by the way, happy Valentine's Day to you. I know you're a big Valentine's Day guy. One word to describe this Warriors season thus far. We've been asking the question, if I can give you one word to describe this team, what's the word for you? And good morning.
Ever evolving at this point. Good morning.
Is it two words or one? You're a journalist.
It's a hyphen. It's a hyphen, right? Okay. I mean, I could just say evolving.
Getting hyphy with the hyphenations.
There you go. Thanks. Evolving would say it's evolving in this current moment. Ever evolving means it's just been like constantly evolving. I don't know. That's just how it feels, right? Remember the D'Anthony Melton era? That was a while ago.
How could I forget?
Yes. 12-3. But, you know, you obviously had the segment where they were one of the worst teams in basketball. I mean, we were talking about there was a 6-week run where they were like the third worst offense in the league. They were 7-17, whatever it was, over a 24 game stretch. It just felt like there was a segment where it was just like all trades all the time. Everybody just wondering, you know, what they could do. I don't even remember half the games in that segment. Now it's the Jimmy Butler segment, you know, 4-1, obviously heading to the break. They're coming out at 28-27 in 10th, which is not good, especially for a team that started 12-3, but you know, you get the Kings, which are right next to you in the standings, and you get the Mavericks, which are right above you coming out of the break. You win those two, they'll probably be favored in both. They're setting up to make a little run, so it just feels like everything continues to change.
Were you surprised at all? Because you asked the question to Steve Kerr in Dallas after the game. Obviously, the game started at, 8:45 local, which is just insane, by the way. It was supposed to be 8:30, and then it went to 8:45, the national game, this, that, the other. They didn't get to Houston until early in the morning, 3 or 4, whatever it was. Were you surprised at all that Steph, Dre, and Jimmy all played and that they played heavy minutes?
Not really. I mean, especially with the loss, I do wonder if they had snuck that Dallas win. Maybe they would have pulled the parachute, but, it's not really time to give away games. Steph's knee tendonitis is calmed down enough to where they're more comfortable with him playing back-to-backs. I don't think that, like you said, they love the timing of it. They got it to their Houston hotel around 3:30 from what I heard. I think it's part of why you didn't see Steve Kerr put the pedal down as far as rotationally. I think Steph Curry had only played like 21 minutes through three quarters last night. Now he plays the entire fourth because they set it up that way. I think they were hoping not to have him, to get some garbage time basically yesterday, but they obviously blew the lead at the end of the third. So long way of answering your question. No, I wasn't surprised. I think Rick Celebrini was probably pretty uncomfortable with it, but they needed the win. And, they escaped Houston with a win, whereas if those guys sat, they would have lost. They would be 27-28 right now.
I just really like the final 5-6 minutes on both ends of the floor for them. I like that they're in these kind of tight games. The Dallas game, there was some sequences that were very frustrating, right? There was obviously the defensive foul on Moses Moody, a couple of missed layups by Steph. But to see them kind of have that trio of Draymond, Butler, and Curry, And one time, Jimmy brings the ball up the floor. He passes to Draymond. Curry sets the screen. Boom, he dives down the middle of the paint, wide open, backdoor, boom, layup. You see another time, Steph's the one who pops open for the three. Like, they're clearly a work in progress, but having Jimmy as a secondary playmaker has really helped them, even in just the short term. And then you saw him take on the Kyrie assignment late in that game as well. God, they need Kuminga back, but I like what I'm seeing on both ends of the floor in the final 5-6 minutes. Don't you think that's the most important part of why they got Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. He just does a ton of stuff. The passing's there. It seems to kind of have unlocked, you know, some of their movement stuff where it felt stale at times. And you're not blaming Andrew Wiggins for it, but you're not really seeing Andrew Wiggins catch the ball in the short roll and make like a nice bounce pass to the dunker spot or, you know, rip out a muscle rebound in traffic and, you know, immediately find Steph Curry in the corner for three. There's just small stuff that Butler does that you know, I think it accentuates everybody else. I think his scoring is not where he wants it to be. His touches, and he's talked about it, even his feel. He said he's just like a step behind where he would normally want to be, his wind. I think that's coming, and I think what matters the most is, like, they're going to need his scoring at some point. I felt like they've needed it the last few games, and it just hasn't been there. The mid-range or the, you know, even the three at times that he can shoot, he's not really shooting right now. And then, you know, I think the other thing, I don't know how much Butler's presence helps Pajemski, because I think Pajemski's really on, you know, at this point a 3-4-5 week stretch here that's been really good. But he looks like the guy they pumped up all summer, right? The guy that's heading towards, I've never thought stardom, and I still don't necessarily think stardom, but like, this was the second year player that was going to build off that great rookie season. He's back, and if he's back, I mean, that's a fourth really good player out there, and I'm sure we can get to Moody and some of the others, but that, to me, has helped a lot.
Yeah, no, I pulled it up. Since returning from an 11-game absence, he's played another, let's say, 11 games. He's averaging 14-6-5. That's pretty good. I mean, you know, that's pretty good, and I feel like that it's not giving you the full floor game because his decisiveness has been better. His defense has been awesome. Yeah, he's been really good. One thing that bugs me, and maybe you can elaborate on this. Maybe we can ask Steve Kerr this down the line. The switching. Certain lineups, they switch and they switch. And especially against a team like Dallas, it was driving me like crazy watching Buddy Hield and GP2 just so easily and passively give up the switch. And then you saw late in the game, Jimmy's like, no, we're not switching. I'm going to fight over the top of this. Is that a Steve Kerr thing? Is that just the philosophy of the Warriors of, like, we're going to switch everything across the board? Like, I think they need to adjust that. And, like, when Buddy's out on an island, like, they cannot allow that switch to happen so passively and so easily. It's just, they're playing into the matchups there. I know I'm getting deep in the weeds in basketball 101, but I don't get why they think that this is 2017 and they can switch everything.
I assume you're talking about the Kyrie, like, segments late in the Dallas game.
Yes! Yeah. And specifically that type of a team that wants to switch you to death to get the matchup that they're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. I think that sometimes it's the players on the floor deciding when or when not to. I don't think they necessarily want to so easily allow Buddy Hield on Kyrie Irving. I think one of their issues is, they're all, especially right now, it feels like they're always in small ball lineups. And typically, you know, better strategy for a small ball type unit without a rim protector or a drop center or whatever in the modern NBA is to be switchy. I mean, you know, you want to construct lineups in a small environment that, you know, are mostly a bunch of wings that can guard, you know, various positions. Buddy Hield, I would not necessarily consider in that vein, but I don't disagree. You don't want Buddy Hield late in the game guarding Kyrie Irving. They should have doubled. Steve Kerr said it post game. It like that should have been more of a double situation. And I think they did do it a lot more in the fourth. He said they should have done it earlier. I'd agree because Kyrie was really the only one going. But yeah, you're not, I mean, like, I don't necessarily think Jerry Stackhouse is over there like, oh, I'm comfortable with Buddy Hield and on an island with Kyrie at all times.
Talking to Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider for 95.7 The Game and The Athletic, best in the biz at all things Golden State Warriors. And Anthony, you had mentioned, you know, the knee tendonitis for Steph Curry, you know, it's calmed down enough to play him on back-to-backs, or the organization feels confident enough to play him on back-to-backs. Do you foresee that being the norm going forward, Steph playing back-to-backs? Because, you know, Mike Dunleavy joined our station yesterday with Steiny and Goo, and he said that loss to Dallas felt like a playoff loss to him. It, like, every single game feels like a playoff game going forward. I mean, right off the break, a week from now, you're playing the Sacramento Kings, a team you might be playing again in the play-in. Then you got the Mavericks. So do you foresee Steph playing these back-to-backs going forward the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, until either his body says he shouldn't or the standings say he shouldn't, and I don't think the standings are going to, because, I mean, I think it's pretty clear the difference between, like, the 6th seed and the 11, basically, in the West is only going to be a few games, really like it was last year. Y'all remember the final week last year where it was like the, even the final day, the Lakers, the Kings, and they were all playing on the same day trying to figure out who was going to be 8, who was going to be 9, who was going to be 10?
Anthony, it's an absolute joke that the 76ers are 20-34 in a game out in the Eastern Conference, and the Warriors are a game above 500 and clinging to the 10th spot. Like, it's, come on, man. Like, I get it. It's been the East versus West for a long time. It's never going to happen. There needs to be some sort of reseeding, though, because this is an absolute travesty, what's going on in the East compared to the West. It's a joke.
Yeah, especially that middle part of the conference. I mean, obviously, the depth is out West. I mean, you could argue the East is, you know, has better top teams, right? Boston, Cleveland,
sure.
Knicks. But, you know, I also don't really care too much about, like, the Sixers squeaking in at the 10, because they're going to play a 9-10 play-in game and maybe lose it and then play another, you know, if they win that game and win the next game, then they're going to be the 1-8 and get smoked in the first round. So I don't think it's going to, you know, basically tilt the championship race. But yeah, I mean, like, that's the West. So
could they ever reseed in the future? Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off there, because Adam Silver's in town. It's the All-Star game. They're talking about all these new ways, you know, shortening the quarters, this, that, the other. I'm just throwing it out there, because I do think the West has just dominated the East basically my entire life, past Michael Jordan. Obviously, it's been the Lakers, it's been the Spurs, the Mavericks for a little bit, the Warriors, obviously. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it. It just, it bothers me when I look at the standings. And I sure as the league, they would love the Warriors. Like, give me a Warriors, I don't know, a Warriors Pistons matchup would be awesome. The young upstart Pistons, Cade Cunningham, a bigger market. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it.
Can I tell you something? I don't want to cover Warriors Pistons first round.
I don't want
to be going to Detroit and back.
Draymond would love that. There's storylines galore. Come on.
I love giving Warriors LA. Warriors Kings a couple of years ago, that was perfect.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Five blocks from your house.
Well, travel does matter, and, like, time zones matter, and, like, I think the NBA can, you know, traditions a little bit matter to them. But I will say, Adam Silver's having a press conference at Chase Center, I think, on Saturday. Why don't you come on down? I want you to bring that heat, you know, wind your question up that way and see what he says to you.
I'll be sleeping then. Sorry, Anthony. I got to get up too early for this. The weekends, I got to reset, refocus, but I appreciate you saying that, Joe Shasky.
You know, obviously Jimmy Butler's going to get all the headlines, and rightfully, right? I mean, marquee player, big trade. You know, you got rid of a lot of people, like a fan favorite, if you will, of Andrew Wiggins. I love what I'm seeing from the random guys, and they're not all going to play great every night, but you obviously touched on Pajemski. Moses Moody's been playing excellent. I would argue it's his best month of basketball of his career. And it's he's getting consistent minutes. He's making his impact even when he's not just hitting shots. Guy Santos just plays winning basketball. You know, he's always in the right spot. He's got a knack for rebounding. He is a guy who's a really good passer. I love what I'm seeing from Quentin Post. It feels like kind of trimming down that bench a little and having more clearly defined roles has really helped everyone out.
Yeah, although I didn't like, I thought Guy Santos had a rough one last night. But
last night wasn't great.
Yeah. 13 out of 15 games, Moses Moody has scored double figures. I agree with you, starting to get consistent minutes. And I think generally a lot of people thought this was in him, if given this type of role. Kuminga's on the way. Even Pat Spencer last night, I think they plugged him in for some energy on the second night of a back-to-back. He always brings, you know, at least, you know, some spark in the legs. So, the rotation makes more sense. It was a 4-for-1 trade. They're going to add two guys coming out of the break. I don't think they're necessarily going to be rotation guys, but I do think the consolidation trade helped. And, you know, I think you've seen some of Mike Dunleavy's draft picks, fringe type moves, over the last couple of years. Like, they're showing up well. I mean, to get Post 52nd overall, he's already changed a couple games. He basically closed the game in Milwaukee with that, you know, three threes and whatever it was, 3 or 4 minutes to start the fourth. Like, to have a guy that's essentially, you just, you know, converted him from a two-way, like, flip a road game like that or close a road game down, Like, that's already getting more value than, you know, a team would normally expect out of the 52nd pick. So there's some small stuff that's going well for the Warriors.
Talking with Anthony Slater, our 95% of the Game Warriors insider, and obviously covers the team for The Athletic. And Anthony, Jonathan Kuminga, the next big domino to fall here, going to be reevaluated next week. Hopefully everything goes well and we're seeing him sooner rather than later. How do you foresee him fitting in with this crew? Obviously, he'll be on a minutes restriction, you would assume, early on. How do you foresee everything shaking out with the addition of Jimmy now and Jonathan Kuminga being, you know, reinstituted in this team, if you will?
Yeah, I think he's really going to matter, obviously, in like those second unit lineups. I want to see him and Jimmy Butler together. They want to see each other together. I talked to, you know, both of them, you know, basically about each other. I wrote a story this week about Kuminga and his future, his contract that needs to get solved. That kind of sits in the background, you know, of all this. But, you know, he's pumped. You know, Butler not only is to him like kind of a model of the type of offensive player he should be and wants to be, which is just like a power downhill type guy, lives at the rim, takes more than half of his shots, you know, in the restricted area, gets to the free throw line, still will shoot the mid-range jumper, still will shoot the three. But also, like, I think Kuminga is better in a small ball environment. And I think what this roster has molded into, it's going to be a lot more Draymond at center, maybe more than he'd like to play. But it's winning time. You know, we're heading towards March, April, May. Like, Draymond Green at the center is going to be how they have to close like most of these games. And that'll allow Kuminga, as we've seen in the past, right? You remember last year was the only way for them to play Kuminga and Wiggins together was Draymond at the center. But those lineups work. Now it's even better version of that, right? It's Kuminga, Butler, and Draymond. I'd expect to be the 3, 4, 5 at the most important moments of this season. And I think two things Jonathan Kuminga needs to do well for those lineups to work. It's going to be individually defend, because I think Butler isn't the individual defender at this stage of his career that Wiggins was, you know, point of attack. But Butler's a terror off the ball. We've seen some of the steals and sneaky stuff he does. They think they can build a really good defense with Butler and Draymond kind of roaming, but they need somebody to guard the ball. And to me, Kuminga, at least, you know, physical tools, is a candidate. So if he locks into that, I mean, that'll earn him some more money in free agency. And then the other thing, hit some catch-and-shoot threes. Defenses are going to leave him open. He's 40% this season on catch-and-shoot threes. The pull-up threes, he's not near 40%. But if he could just hit those catch-and-shoot wing threes, which I think you feel decent about when he rises up in rhythm, then I think, you know, you can play these lineups and you can win with these lineups.
Anthony, we appreciate the time, man. Always so good to us. Real quick, any Valentine's Day plans? You a big Valentine's Day guy?
Well, I will be hanging out with my wife. My son is coming to the Bay Area with her for All-Star Weekend, so I'll do dinner with her tonight. So that's good enough for me.
Strong. No, that's great. Shout out to all of you listening Valentine's Day. It's not too late. Send a text, get a call, get a voicemail in there.
I would bring a rain jacket.
It's sunny right now in downtown San Francisco.
I'm not in the Bay Area yet.
No, it's sunny right now in Financial District, so we're chilling right now, Anthony. Hey, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the festivities this weekend and everything, and we'll do it again next week.
Okay, see y'all.
All right, that's Anthony Slater. As all guests on 95. 95-